obstacles from the world, from the scum, from the, you know, and he sets our feet on the rock to stay. Amen. Just because he loved us. We thank you for doing that. If he do nothing else for me, that was good enough. Amen. That was good enough. So good evening. Good evening. Good evening. It is good?
Amen.
Good. What is that noise? Me or you or hope not? I hate to start making noises. You know, I'm old, but I'm not squeaking yet. I don't think so. My joints are good. You know, just in the morning. So here we are again. Continue praying for the staff. You know, Andy's, he got back and he's working already. So, and here I am working. And so pray for us because we need a lot of prayer. That's the only thing that will sustain us here and keep us going on. So I'm going to try to continue my title was A Journey back a month ago. So I'm going to continue with that. Should be part 4 or 5. I don't know. I got lost somewhere in the shuffle. But it doesn't matter. 4 or 5. So we came as far as, thank you. If you wouldn't say hallelujah, I would have forgot about you for until you say amen or something like that. Yeah, you can be doing something a long time or so many times, and then one day you just forget completely, just vanish. Amen. I don't know why. Is it because I'm nervous or because I'm old or I don't know. I'm losing my mind, and that is a good thing, though, to lose my mind. So we're going to continue our journey. So let us have a word of prayer. Before we do, let us read Exodus 15, chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Now, last time we never brought him out of Egypt. We were always there, right? But I'm going to skip that for right now because I want to jump to this section right here. And you're going to see why in a minute. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the desert and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were what? Bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we had to gather together, to sit at your feet. Teach us, Father, those things that we ought to know, we need to know. Father, not only to know him, but also, Father, that your Holy Spirit, through the power of that blood, to help us manifest those things in our life, make them part of this journey. Father, we just don't want to be hearers, but want to be doers of the word. Father, as the word go forward, cleanse us, purify us. Father, a vessel that is ready for your use, a vessel that is ready to manifest your word, Father, because that is what you call us, Father, so that word can be, once again, walking and talking and finishing the word that you started, Father, looking for that last seed, Father. But we are here now to represent you, Father. Let it be in heaven as it is in earth. Whatever your will is in heaven, we are the one that in earth has to do it, Father. We are walking, talking, Father, with your spirit leading us and guiding us all the time, Father. We thank you. And Father, be with our pastor and give him another rest. Father, keep him and protect him and cover him from anything, Father. And also those that are not here for whatever reason, Father, our sister Joy, we breathe a special prayer for her. Whatever the case may be, Father, we know that you can heal us, Father. You are our healer. You can touch our bodies anytime, Father. We are not in despair. We are not hopeless. We know who have believed, and you deliver us, and you heal us, and you keep us, and you protect us, Father. So you will do what you promised you will do. We just need to believe it, Father. Now, Father, we pray that as we sit at your feet, Father, tell us those things. Reveal those things to our hearts, Father, that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So I was reading a quote today about, well, many quotes, but one of the quotes that I read, Brother Branham was talking about in the days that we are living, I don't think people realize the importance, you know, of what we do and coming to church. No, I'm not saying that nobody's here, they should be here. We're here and that's all it is to. But I'm talking about that the only way you can hear the voice of God today is through the pulpit. Brother Branham used a passage from Jesus when he says, my sheep will hear my voice. Where are you going to hear his voice? But don't look at me because it's not my voice. But you come to church to hear his voice. See? And then do. And line up with that word. So it is so imperative that we come to church. Now you can say, I can stay home and listen to Brother Branham tape and I can listen to his voice. So what you're telling me, you know more than God? That's God. This is God's order. So here in the pulpit, people don't realize the responsibility of the pulpit. To get out of the saddle and let God come in so you can be fed. See, you don't have no need nobody to teach you. I don't need to teach you. But the spirit that is in me will, you know, talk to your spirit. And that spirit will respond, not to me, respond to him. So I'm not teaching you, but he's teaching you through this vessel. And this is how you're going to get perfected. This is how you're going to hear the voice. You're not going to hear the voice staying home. Maybe you can pray and God can talk to you, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about progressing. I'm talking about growing in the Lord. So the pulpit has a big responsibility that when we come, we need to just get to one side and let God take over. So you can hear from God. You're hearing my voice, you know, kind of broken and whatever, the way I speak, but, you know, your spirit will get something tonight. Amen. So, talking about the journey, and we talked about journey and what is a journey, and we said that journey is a process. See? It's a process. It is not just a trip that you take from here to there, and that's it. A process is action that has to take place, steps that you have to go through a process in order to have a final, you know, product. You go through certain process. Now, we're not talking about having steps like some people, you know, like maybe the AAA that have the 10th step or 12th step. We're not talking about those steps. We're not talking about, you know, I don't know if it's the latter saint that believe in 32 step, and when you get to the last one, you become, you know, Christ, like Christ. And then you can move to a world out there in some galaxy, and it's yours now. You know, they believe all this stuff. I don't know where they get it, but that's what they believe. But that's not what I'm talking about. Follow this step, and I can assure you that. No. The only step that we follow is the step of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why we're here, so we can teach, we can preach, so we can be like him and follow his footsteps. Amen? That's the only step I follow. I don't have no other steps to follow. Because I want to be like him. That's his, my end result. So, the children of Israel, you know, started this journey. And this journey, Brother Branham said, is the same thing in the spiritual journey that we are going through. Because we came out of an exodus too. We came out of the world. Egypt represents the world. They came out in the natural. And there's a lot of similarities. And if we want to look at it, we can learn a lot of things from this journey. So here we see that after they came out of Egypt, they went to the Red Sea. Now, let me stop here a minute and tell you that the Red Sea represented the water baptism. Okay? So sometimes you say, well, you know, what are you talking to all this stuff in the Old Testament? It has nothing to do with us. Yes, you do. Water baptism. As a group, as a nation, they were baptized. Now, before they got baptized, they got redeemed by the blood. The offer, the Passover, was the blood that redeemed them and protected them and got them out of Egypt. And that's the first step. It's always that we have to, you know, be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Without the blood, there's no redemption. So we are under the blood, and then after we are saved and under that blood and that forgiveness and wiped up all our sins and we clean, then the next step is water baptism. And here it says that the children of Israel entered the desert section of the journey. See, after they went through their baptism, and then they traveled 3 days in the desert, and they didn't find water, according to here. So when they got to some water, it was not even drinkable. It was bitter, so they started complaining. See? And they started murmuring against Moses. But the reason I wanted to bring this today, because this water was bitter. And when Brother Doug was talking about the fruits, and he started talking about bitterness and bitterly, I was just praying so hard. I hope he don't get into my message. But he did a good introduction on what I have to say tonight. We're going to talk about being bitter and what that means. Because the first thing they had to do before they went into the 3-day journey and meet God, see, they needed to understand that they need to get rid of their bitterness. Because Exodus 1:14 says, they made the Egyptians, the taskmaster, their life bitter and with a hard bondage, with the mortar and the brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And the service, all their service, where they made them serve, was with rigor. I mean, it was hard work. Yeah. And I know that's what you and me. One time we came out of some denomination, or we came out of some group that, you know, some of you were even abused, you know. Uh-huh. Abused by the pastor, you know. Now I'm not talking physically abused. You can abuse people with words, you know, and make your life impossible and make your life hard. Some of you came out of a situation that you lost families, you know, and you was miserable and, you know, no hope. Just like them, they came out and they had bitterness. Because, you know, you like it or not, the world will treat you so bad. When I was in the world, you know, I was bitter at one point. I was so bitter that I was picking anybody just to have a fight. That's how bitter I was. Yes, I got out of the army. I was worse than ever. And I would have an argument just to have a fight. I mean, I didn't care about myself. I didn't care about anybody, you know, and it's just me. And I got so miserable that I had tried to take my life twice. Didn't work out. I guess I wasn't a man enough to do it, huh? I don't know, but whatever it is, God didn't allow that. Amen. After I got out of the army, I was just, you know, my mind was not there. And my life was miserable. See? And that's what the devil will do out there. You think you're going to have fun, but, you know, if you go further and further, you're going to see that your life gets miserable and miserable, because Satan cannot satisfy your life. Amen. He can offer you this, he can offer you that, keeping you busy. You know, this is your task, you have to do this. And every time you leave for the weekend, you know, it's Friday, oh, you know, and party and whatever. And that's all. When the weekend is gone, you're back to work, back to the task, you know. Taskmaster, right on you. And your life is miserable. Until you get back to Friday, I guess, you know. Hey, happy hour. Total, you can drink all you want to. You cannot drown your sorrows. I tried. That don't work. It make them worse. But see, so the first thing God has to do when he saved you, he need to clean all that bitterness. See? You need to get out all that out of your system. And that's what we're going to talk tonight about, being bitter now. In Ruth chapter 1:20-21 says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. And that's the same word for bitter. For the Almighty had what? Deal very bitterly with me. Why? She was out of the promised land. She was out of the word. So every time we are out of the word, out there, out of the in the world, things get bad. Because you have no protection. Anything can happen. God don't have to honor his word. So she says, deal very bitterly with me. And I went out a fool, and the Lord had brought me home again, empty. That is how you have to come back, empty. Empty of the world, empty of your ideas, empty. And God will empty you out. Don't worry about it. He will do that. He says, empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? You know, Naomi means my delight. To going from my delight to bitter. Yeah. Man, so I'm not saying, what I'm trying to say here, sometimes you can do something directly or indirectly, you know. You don't have to sin, you know. You don't have to be bad. You don't have to lie. You don't have to do all these things. You could be a good person, but bad things happen to good persons. And it's not because you're doing something bad that something bad happens to you. You know, you could be doing something wrong, and then, yes, you have to be punished if you get caught, right? But you can be doing nothing wrong and something, you know, happens to you. It happens to everybody. So indirectly or directly, if you're in the world, there's no other choice. Because there's nothing like that can make you happy. So she says, brought me again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? And some of you have been afflicted in different ways when you was out there. Even when you was in church doing nothing wrong, you're still being afflicted for certain doctrines and things. But see, when you come out of that, the first thing you have to do, you have to deal with your bitterness. You know, there are some people over here that comes that are bitter. And if you cannot get those people to deal with that, you won't see them too long. Because we're going to see what happened in those situations. Now, the first time that I heard this word bitter, it was in Matthew 27:48. Here's this biblical word of where it is used in Matthew 27:48. And straight away, one of them ran and took a sponge. This is the crucifixion, right? Jesus is being crucified. And fill it with what? Vinegar. And put on a reed. I gave him to drink. Now, in Mark 15:23 says, and they gave him a drink, wine mingled with myrrh. Now, that's bitter. But he would not receive it. He received it not. So they gave him a drink, maybe water or wine, and they added some kind of a bitter. They call him gall, G-A-L-L. And I started to look, what did they call a bitter gall? And it had to do with gallbladder. It's short for gallbladder. Now, we all got a gallbladder. However, the gallbladder, what it do, it works, it's right on top of your liver. And it's a little sac. And working with the liver, it puts some gall, some kind of a toxic, you know, in that little bag. And then later on, it's released into your intestine to break the fat. That's all the gall do. But that stuff is so, I guess it has to be so bitter in order to break all the fat. But we all got a gallbladder. Now, one thing that I looked at, a dove don't have a gallbladder. So you know what happened? They can eat nothing bitter. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. But so the reference here that they gave Jesus the drink on the cross and he didn't drink it. Why? Because he took the sins of the entire world. Yeah. But what that bitterness meant, that drink was, that was the religious bitterness. See, that was those religious that put him in the cross and they killed the Son of God, the Holy One, you know. So that was not something pretty. Anyway, even Pilate said, you know, I wash my hands. The blood be on you guys. So let it be on us and our next generation and next generation. See, because what they were doing was the religious people that killed him, because they were bitter about, you know, him. So they put him in the cross. He didn't drink that. Why? Because that represented the religious people that were bitterly against him until the point they wanted him what? Dead. And that's how bitterness will do in people's life. People get so bitter to a point that they don't care about anybody but themselves. So it says, in, Brother Brown says in 6102:26, the mark of the beast says, did you ever notice a dove has no gallbladder? It is a small sac shaped in, yeah, I told you, in the organ, in the liver, beneath the liver. And it stores certain secretions stored in that sac. And then later on, it's released into the intestines so you can dissolve fat. So, but it says over here, did you notice the dove has no gall, see, of bitterness? Neither does anyone that is baptized with the Holy Ghost. All the bitterness is what? Gone away. So what was the first step in the journey? You have to be sweet. The first change, big change, is you cannot go to the next step will be to receive the Holy Ghost unless you have deal with the bitterness of the world. God has to clean you, has to purify you, and get you ready, the unclean, to receive the Holy Ghost. I was so bitter that I didn't even love myself. I would love somebody else. But God had to change my spirit, because my spirit was very bitter. That's what happened in the Word. That's the mark that we get out there, you know, conditioning, that conditioning of the devil. Always beating on people, always beating. I mean, we know that Brother Branham had that vision when the little lady trying to stand up, it was a man with a big, you know, it's not, it wasn't a hammer, it was like a, how you call that, garrocha. Stick, that's close. Beating her back down. Every time she's trying to get up, we beat her back down, see? And that is that, and that's what the devil wants. He don't want you to come up. He don't want you to know who you are and what you are. He wants you to keep it there, down in misery. But the Lord, once he saves us, he cleans us. And the first step is to get rid of that bitterness. You know, some people will come into the message, and if you don't deal with that bitterness, whatever people have done to you, either abuse you sexually, or either did this to you, or your parents drink and they beat you, or whatever situation you came, all that baggage has to be dealt with, because that creates bitterness. And it will take you further than what you want to go. But the brother said, in 6509, Thursday, but the dove can eat wheat all day long, but it cannot eat a dead carcass because it's done. You know what happened when God cleaned you from all that bitterness? You cannot go back to the world. See? Why? You don't have no more desire. He takes the desire from you, and now, you. And if you do, you're going to get sick. I'm going to tell you in a minute how that works. He says, but the dove can eat wheat all day long, but he cannot eat dead carcasses because it's a dove. And the dove don't have any gall. Any bite, one bite out of that dead carcass, it kill the dove. So, see, it has no gall, and that's the way it is, no bitterness. And that's how we should be. That's how we are. It should be no bitterness among us. We're supposed to be sweet people. One to another. And if any root of bitterness come up, we need to deal with it. Quickly. Because Paul says it might destroy somebody else. And it says here in Revelation 10:9-10, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly what? Bitter. But it shall be what? To your mouth, sweet like what? Like honey. See? What happened when you start receiving the word of God? God starts scrubbing you. And God starts cleaning you. Sometimes it's not pleasant. Sometimes, you know, you go, I don't like that one. And here comes the other one. But God is cleaning you. And the word tastes sweet. And you welcome the word. But when it gets into your members and it has to start cleaning up, it's not funny. But that's God doing his work. And it was sweet in his mouth, but when it gets into your system and start a fight, it is a battle. See, because he wants to clean you up, take all that stuff out of you. So sometimes you come to church and you hear someone and it's sweet, you know. But when you had to go and leave it up, you know, now I have to do this, or you don't have to do it, but the Spirit of the Lord will help you do those things. But you think your body's going to let you go that easy? You know, Satan's going to say, well, you know, okay, I lost. You can't have it. No. It's going to be a fight. Because that thing has to get out. There can be no bitterness. The Word of God will show you all those areas, but it will also will clean you, all those areas. You might have to put up a good fight, but you will claim it every step of the way. It's yours. But God will clean you of any bitterness. He says, Brother Branham says, on the wind of snow, white dove, he said, that's the way it is with a genuine Christian. Just a dominational Christian can just take anything. See, you and I cannot hear everything. We cannot take everything. We only can take the revealed word of God. Anything else, right away, you cringe. So it says, born-again Christian cannot take the things of the world. He is constructed different. See, after he cleanses us, after he fills us, you know, you cannot go back to what you used to be before. In fact, you cannot even act the way you used to act before. See, because now you are being changed in a different way. He says, so that is the way it is with Christian. He doesn't need any bitterness, see, because he only can eat the food of God. Amen. So if you're bitter tonight, you're eating the wrong food. That's all it is to it. If you have bitterness against someone, you're eating the wrong thing. And if you hear something that makes you, you know, kind of question your brother or have a little, you know, jealousy or whatever comes in, that's a root of bitterness. It says, because he only can eat the food of God. And it doesn't take bitterness to dissolve that. You know what it takes? Love. Amen. See? To dissolve the food. So the dove no need go, because love will dissolve God's food in our lives. And bitterness too also. Oh, they say, well, the different with it. But love always receive it, the word of God. Now, he has no goal. Says that therefore he could not, it is just against him to eat anything that is bad. You know, sometimes, you know, that's probably what I am in this, you know, I don't want to do nothing wrong against God. That's what Joseph said when that woman trying to trick them, you know, he said, I cannot do this, not to God. You know, forget about my wife, forget about my children, just I cannot act that way. After he had done so much for me, I cannot do the things that I used to do. So he says, again, him eat anything bad, and if he would, he will what? Kill you. You know what? He kill you until you repent. You get so miserable because you cannot serve two masters. So either you're going to deal with the bitterness, or either you're going to be miserable. Because if you are son and daughter of God, you will stay miserable until you make it right. And you come to church and you can do like David did. He went to the tabernacle every Saturday, you know, but he had in his heart secrets. The things that he done, he killed. He committed adultery and so on and so on. And he was miserable. He thought everything was going okay. Yeah, you know, nobody knows. Well, I know the one that knows. But if you harbor bitterness in your heart, and you're a son of God, daughter of God, you're going to be miserable. God will make you miserable until you make it right. And that's not only talking about people in church. The first time when I came to God, that he saved me, that I'm not talking message, I was Baptist, I came into the Baptist church, and I gave my life to the Lord, I went back. And everybody that I did wrong, that I could find, I either wrote them, I either called them, but I made all things right. At least I said sorry. Nothing I could do. I was dumb, but I told him sorry. Nobody told me to do that. My heart had a desire to go back. My first one was my mom and my dad. I had to tell them sorry for the headache that I caused you. Sorry for my actions, for being the black sheep of the family, and all the money you spent on me to go to college that I wasted, and all the hard time that I gave you. I made him a big tape. I wrote him a big letter. Why? Because I want to make sure there was no bitterness. Amen. And some of you might need to go back. You know, it doesn't matter what they do to you. It's what you respond to them. Yeah. So as long as you don't forgive them, oh, but they done this, I don't care what they've done to you. No. You need to go back and make things right. But what about they don't want to forgive me? It's not about forgiveness, it's about you doing the right things. If they forgive you or not, that's not your problem. Your problem is you need to go and make things right. As long as that is in your heart, you are not going to be free to praise the Lord and to be free to enjoy a service and have a revival. Because that will hunt you down and keep you down until. And Satan is going to always remind you. See? So I don't care who did what to you and how bad it was, you still need to go and make things right. Jesus said, if you go and bring your offering to the altar, and there you remember that someone got something against you, not that you have something against somebody, that someone is offended for something reason, maybe you not intentionally, but you know that somebody is offended about anything, says leave your offering there. See, you cannot sacrifice, you cannot worship, not in those conditions. You gotta make things right first and then come back and worship the Lord. Now we can do like David, you know, just ignore the whole thing, but that's not gonna work too long, because sooner or later God is gonna find you somewhere. You know, Nathan went to David, because the Lord told the prophet, go and tell David, you know, what he has done. See, the Lord knew. David thought everything was okay. See, and he went to church, and he was praising, and he was praying. But his prayers and his praising never went, over the roof of the tabernacle. Beyond that. Over the roof of his mouth. That's all he said. God was not accepting it. Why? Because there was something he was harboring in his heart. So, and he was bitter. But he ignored it. Some people think that bitterness sometimes, they don't have no choice, but they turn it into sweet. But bitter, you cannot turn bitter into sweet. There's no way. But we're going to deal with that in a minute. But it says over here, it will kill him, but there's no danger. He is not going to eat. Because he has no appetite. See, I don't have no appetite to be bitter against Brother Henry. I don't have no appetite to do anything wrong to you. And if I talk to you and I offend you for some reason, I didn't do it on purpose. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. But if I got God in my heart, how can I intentionally do something wrong to you? Or how I will be jealous of you, envy, and have bitterness because you did something to me. According to this, according to Brother Branham, it is impossible because your appetite has been changed. He says, now, I was looking at the word bitterness in the lexicon. It says extreme wickedness. Now, let's go to Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, this is what bitter will do. Lest any man fall in of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble in you. Because that's what he do. And thereby many be what? Defiled. I ask a question. How can you fall for grace to begin with? Can you? I mean, I guess you can. Just like, can the Holy Spirit leave you? Say, do not contrive the Holy Spirit. It will take a flight until you make things right? Of course. It says, many be defiled. It says, and Ecclesiastes 7:26 says, and I find more bitterness than death the woman. It says, and I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snare and nets, and her hands as bands, whoso pleases God shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken by her. See, a seductive woman is a trap. It's worse than bitterness. Now, the reason I'm admitting this, because bitterness, you know, is according to here, it says, the woman, a seductive woman is a trap. So what is a woman in the church? What is it's a church. So we're not talking about your sister, we're not talking about nobody. See? Now listen, he says, So he discovered this is that a woman can be a trap, and it's worse than being bitter. Now, this is what Brother Branham says in the Deposition of the Seven-Eight Churches, the Sarmenian Church. He says, notice how an organization breeds what?
Hatred.
Hatred. This is a church is a woman, but a woman is worse than bitterness, if you can believe that. It destroys what?
Fellowship.
It makes what?
Bitterness.
That is what Mara means. This is what Samina was full of. What? Bitterness. A root of bitterness defile many. That's what Paul was saying. So more and more defilement was coming in. Every age would feel its scars. He says, the Samaritan church had drifted far from the what? The original. Another way, left the world. The word, you know. He left the first love, you know, like the Ephesians said. He had become one hybrid. He had hybridized himself the way Eve did. Now, so you know that a hybrid is what comes of two species missing. The result is no longer pure like the original. It is mongrel. Well, when Eve allowed the beast to mingle his seed with her, she produced a creature called Cain that was a pure human, that was not pure human. He was of the wicked one. Notice now, different he was from Abel. Notice how different he was from Seth. He hated what? God, and would not obey the word. And that is one of the first things. What do you think we are under the message of the hour, under the revealed word of God? Why do we come out of denominations? Because that's a snare. People don't know it, but they're snares. Brother Brown said, just ready to take them to the slaughter. That will be the end. Why? He said, the world and persecuted and killed the righteous. He set himself above the word of God. So all I wanted to show you was that worse than bitterness is to go to a church that you are not being fed the word of God. Worse than that is to even be away from the word of God. See? You might think everything is going all right, but according to Brother Branham, a way out of the word of God is only wicked done things. There's bitterness, there's hatred, there's fights, there's grudges, there's all kind of things. Now, not in this church, so I'm not preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to other churches. Why other churches? I don't know a church like that. I never belonged to one like that. I know some places that they have cliques and they have problems. And some were kind of bitter. But anyway, we're not here to talk about anybody else. Now, Deuteronomy 32:32. For the vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. See? Their clusters are what? Bitter. That's all they can produce. Bitterness. You know, and today the government is corrupted, religion is corrupted, the whole world is corrupted. You think they can produce anything good? See, if the word of God is not there, you cannot produce anything good. The only thing that you can produce is bitterness. You know, people against each other. Competition. Brother Brown says in this position of the seven churches, the Sarmenian church age, the golden street that joins them, is a picture of the greed that caused the Nicolaitan organizers to join state and church because they knew the wealth and power it offered them. Its efficient age was but the seed bed for the tragic Pergamian age that was yet in the future. The Sarmenian age was the rain, the sun, and the nourishment that assured the vile corruption that would confirm the church in idolatry, a spiritual fornication, for which she never rise. See? Death was permitting her root to branch, and they that partook of her partook of the bitterness of death. That's why I'm glad that this message came. I'm glad that it says, come out of her, my people. Because if it wasn't, it looks good, and they have miracles and they got supernatural and they got entertainment, they got good music. But I don't care how look they campaign it to me. According to this message, it says that is bitterness going through there. Bitterness and death. Job 13:26 says, "For thou writest bitter things against me." See, there are bitter accusations against him, making some accusation. "And make me to possess the iniquity of my youth." In another word, you continue bringing me my life back and what I did, because they thought he had a secret sin in his life. That's what everything happened to him. And they started to say, "But what about this? And what about this? What, consider this." So he's saying, yeah, that was before. You're trying to make me to look back at my life, but that's not me anymore. I'm not bitter anymore. I don't have no secret sin. My life is open book, you know. I'm sincere. I just want to let you know, he says, I'm not that person no more. I'm different. But if you continue accusing me, you know, you want me to go back. See, that's what Satan will do. Want you to go back, but what are you this and what are you that, and you did this and you did that. But see, that wasn't me. That guy is dead.
Right.
See, that guy is dead. So sometimes, you know, that's what Satan likes to do. Try to remind you, you know, where you came from and what you did. But see, that's done. That's forgiven. That's washed away. No more wrinkle. No more.
Amen.
Nothing. And the sea shall possess the gate of his enemy. Brother Man said, let be the hundredfold. Now, what Brother Man says, some will produce 30, some will produce 50, 60, and some will produce 100. So if you want to produce something, produce 100. But don't tell me that you can't, because if you said you can't, then you can. All you have to do, just do it, you know. Let God do the rest. See, that's the attitude. That's a step. You cannot just decide that. Well, I don't know if I can do that much, but you can if you don't. But if you want 100, that's what I want. I want 100%. 100% means let's go way over. You know, don't be satisfied with the minimum. Don't be satisfied. Well, I already came to church once. I don't need to go again. Or don't, I pray one time. I don't need to pray. You know, don't settle for just the minimum. I don't want to be, minimum Christian. I want to be all that God wants me to be. He says, sell out everything from the world and look to Christ. Sell out means that everything, nothing. I believe him with all our heart. That's how these things happen. That's how visions come. That's how power God moves among us. It when we're no root of bitterness, see? Nothing. Make sure your life is clean, it's pure. That we make mistakes, yes. That we sometimes wrong choices, yes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, make sure that your life has no root of bitterness. That is clean. Because that was the first step. It says, no root of bitterness and everything clean what? Out. And the Holy Spirit can work through us. Then we become a channel that God can use you. But everything has to be in order. It takes the Holy Spirit to come down and use our eyes for vision, our lips for words and prophecies, and speak the words and watch the things happen. Ask what you will, and in my name, and it will be done unto you. See, if he abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you. Verily I said unto you, if you said to that mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have it, what you said. See? But it cannot be no root of what? Bitterness. Why? Christians find it so hard to walk this kind of journeys. Why? Because there's things that we have to deal. Paul says, leaving the weight of what? Of sin. You have to be free. Brother Brown said, give 100%. You know, just, you know, move forward and give yourself completely to God. Don't want a half Christian. What are you going to do with a half Christian? Either you're a whole Christian or not Christian at all. God don't take half Christian. You're not drunk and sober at the same time, halfway and halfway. You're either drunk or you're either sober. See? So, God wants everything. So that means You have to die out to yourself completely, to your thoughts, to your ideas, to whatever you think. You know, the things that sometimes I look at is when things happen in church, things spring in church, and then we start criticizing the pastor or the ministry and things like that, or criticizing each other. You know, someone is jealous, or someone said, well, I don't believe it that way. Well, if you don't believe it that way, what you're doing is you are going to create more damage, actually. Because if the pastor is this office is responsible to bring you the word, the manna, so you're telling me that you know better than the pastor that God has put in this office? Well, but he can make a mistake. Yes, we all can make a mistake. But God don't make mistakes. See? So Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loadeth on a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Loathe means hatred, dislike, despise, detest. People that are bitter and they are, you know, they got hatred in their heart and dislike everything. You cannot tell them anything because they don't like anything. So what he's saying is, person like that, you know, they don't want honey. It says they honey from the comb. See, because you can tell them a sweet word, you can tell it the, you know, but God wants you to do this, you should not do that. But they don't want to hear. Why? Because they're full of too much of the other side. Yeah. Because you either full of something or, you know, or not. But he says over here, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes as sweet. You know what that means? There's some people out there that they don't have the word of God, but they're hungry. They're hungry for the word of God, but because they don't have it, they eat out of a trash can, Brother Branham says. Why? Because they ain't got no other choice. So even when the things are bitter, they taste sweet to them. Why? Because that's all they have. But see, you have a choice. You don't have to eat trash. You can eat honey, sweet honey. So Brother Branham says over here in Isaiah, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So it's only saying sometimes people justify being bitter. To them, that's sweet to them because they have justified somehow to be that way and to act that way. But that's no room. In you are Christian, there's no room for that. Brother Branham says, because we are in the last days where the Bible exalted and exhorted us to much more as we see that they are approaching the love, to love one another with Christian love and divine love. That's the name of the church, right? Divine love, or love divine. To assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And to do what? And to love one another. This will all man know that you are my disciple when you have love for one another. That's right. Stay right together. So it can be no bitterness, no root of bitterness, no kind of bitterness. He says, if the brother you think is a little wrong, or a sister say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up. Because you kill yourself and you kill everybody else around you. If you think she's wrong or he's wrong, go and ask. How do you know? Go and ask. Because all affects him, see? And it will take the Christ right out of what? My life. That poison, acid of malice, jealousy, hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from what? From you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. I see many people. You know, they come and go. See? It killed the Spirit of God. You know, I want to come to church, I want to feel the Spirit of God. I don't want to kill the Spirit of God. So before we come to the door, we better make sure that we have made all things right. If we want to see God in action, we better come to this door and we better have our scrub clean and forgiven before we come into church. Because Brother Brown says one of these days, sin will not come to those doors. He says, and we run that just like the Holy Spirit running away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here, and it will kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor, and that I have seen that. It will do everything. See, don't you do that. Bitter root producing bitter fruit. That's what Brother Doug was talking about. It says here in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wife and be not what? Bitter against them. So you love your wife. And if you don't have nothing sweet to say, say nothing. Keep your... You know, sometimes, you know, things happen, I know. I've been married for 40-some years. I know things happen. But Brother Brian told me, make sure you treat your wife as a sweetheart, just like you met her the first time, always your sweetheart. But I can tell you what, we have our arguments and we have our disagreements, but it has nothing to do that I don't love her and I'm not bitter at her. All I'm saying is that love will chase out all kind of things, all kind of things. He said, Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. See, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them unto the nature of admonition, see, of the Lord. So try not to make your children, your wife, and your friends bitter. You know, don't, because, you know, I was told, I don't know, probably the truth, you can catch flies with honey than with vinegar. Amen? I haven't tried it. Anybody tried it? I have a strip at home that my wife bought, and it cuts all kind of flies and bugs. I don't know if it has honey on it, but it works. But you know, if you want a good relationship, you want to be sweet. James 3:11, he says, that a fountain set forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter water, can you get sweet and bitter water from a well? So we're either going to serve mammon or we're all going to serve God. Listen, there's no semi-sweet, you know, chocolate candies. I know they got semi-sweet. There ain't no semi-sweet Christian. Either you're sweet or you're not. Yeah. Brother Brown says one time, you know, sometimes there's people in the congregations, you know, that people love to death, and they love to be around those people. You know, I guess the way they are, you know. But some other, you see them coming down the street and you cross the road because you don't even want to say hi or nothing. You don't even want to see them in pictures. You know, why? Because the atmosphere that they generate. They got something in their life that you don't even want to be around them. But some other ones, you love to be around them. I mean, so according to the Bible, you know, Do not provoke your children. Do not provoke your wife. And if you want to provoke, you provoke to good what? To good works, is what it says. Be sweet. Even be sweet to your enemy. Just because somebody run against you and do things against you, you don't have no right to treat anybody different than what Jesus treated everybody else. Even when people, your enemy is the worst enemy, you still have to be sweet to that person. I mean, you don't have to like what they do, but you cannot, you know, step all over them. But just because, let me take a little further down. Just because all the churches of their denomination don't believe this message, that don't mean that you're going to treat them wrong. It has nothing to do with that. If you try to give it let me give it the word test, and if they don't pass, you don't need to give them the word test. You just need to be sweet to people. And you don't have to try to be. If you have to try to be sweet, you're not sweet. That's something that is spontaneous, has to come out of you. That is the life that we are living. Brother Branham says here, fellowship. He says, cannot love mammon and God at the same time. So either we are bitter or we are sweet, but cannot be in between, brother. That's what I want. This journey is to make me as sweet as I can get. So sweet that my wife cannot get her hands off of me. You know, yeah, do my coffee with your finger, so sweet. I want to be that sweet. He says, at the same time, we try everything. They have fellowship around them, kind of things, talking about other people having other things. Crows have fellowship on a dead carcass, but dove eat dove food. He says, they have fellowship in the wheat field, and so it depends on what you are. A dove cannot, now he cannot fellowship with a crow and a vulture because he has no goal. You know, how can you know, I used to work in Honeywell a long time for 15 years, and they all go to happy hours on Friday, and they invited me to go. I never went. Because what fellowship have the world with a Christian? Did I accuse them? No, I just told them, I just don't do that, period. I don't have an appetite for that any longer. So they blackballed me. I never got nowhere. I never could progress in my career because, hey, sometimes you have to have these relations with your boss and with your supervisors, you know. And so, but what fellowship had the crow with a vulture because he has no goal? There's no bitterness about him. He could not eat it. It would kill him. And a Christian cannot fellowship around like that. It would kill the very spirit that was in him. Grieve the Holy Spirit, and it goes away. See, I don't want to have nothing to do with bitterness. We got to get that out of the way as soon as possible because we cannot progress in the journey until we deal first with our spirit and our condition of our spirits. It says, James 3:14, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. So if you have bitter jealousy, see, and there's a selfish ambition, says strife in your heart, don't try to cover them up by boasting and lying that you're not. Don't lie to yourself. I mean, you can lie to yourself, but you cannot lie to everybody. You cannot lie to God. If it is here, he is a deal. I mean, it can be taken away. You know, that's what God is here and the Spirit is here. Well, all you have to do is confess it. God will take care of the rest. Now, Brother Brown says in Jehovah Jireh, he says, and we know that every seed of promise of God will bring forth of its kind. What is a promise? It is a strike the right ground, the ground that's prepared, ready. All the rocks has been thrown out, and the roots and the bitterness, selfishness, indifference, jealousy grow up out. That root of bitterness that springs up, that sometimes so spoil the things that God is trying to do. We pray, God, that won't be among us, but that the good word will find good ground in this. The journey is to prepare your body to receive the word of God in a good ground. When we was out there, we had all kind of steam, but we come to church, and that's what the word of God do. He will go in and scrub you, and we clean you, and take anything that is against the word of God. Why? Because he wants to produce fruit. Brother Doug talks about it, that seed has to produce fruit. But when you have roots and wheat and all kind of stuff in there, we choke it. See? And you cannot be producing two things in the same garden, either one or the other one. One is going to choke the other one. So I'm almost finishing here. Okay, he says, what is the key to overcoming bitterness? Now we were talking about bitterness so much. Because I know there will be bitterness in our journey. I mean, everything is not peachy. This is not a picnic. You know, this is sometimes you have to deal with things in your life. The children of Israel went through a journey, and they were bitter all the way, and they fought and complained all the way. God will do something for them, and they don't even say thank you, Lord. You know, no. Next challenge, he came, and next test, they did the same thing, and they forgot again. They went about 10 times through this test, and every time, they forgot what God did before and before. They just complain, 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 and complain. See? But I know things are going to come to our life. We're going to have challenges. And we are going to have things that happen, situations. You know, I'm not saying that we are not vulnerable of having bitterness or things that will cause some kind of bitterness in our life. But we need to overcome bitterness. That cannot reside in our bodies, in our minds. Say, bitterness is a person live because bitterness is very dangerous, and that's what we've been talking. Say, a root of bitterness is one person can defile many others, see? So, you come to church and everything is peachy, but it's affecting the whole church. Why? Because one person, Brother Van said, one person can just mess up the whole service. The spirit will not move just because one person. We come with the wrong attitude, bitterness in the heart. I'm not preaching to you guys, and I know this is not a hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm preaching to another group out there. This says, Exodus 15:25. Let's go back to our journey. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. See, when they got to that place where there was water and it was bitter, then Moses, the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. See? What is the tree represents here? Well, we're talking about the tree that Jesus Christ was hanged. It is only the cross that can make you sweet. Amen. It is only Christ and the atonement that he made and his blood that can change your life and make you sweet. I know you look at me and you cannot see me like I was bitter one before, because I look like I've been sweet all my life. But no, don't let it fool you. I wasn't sweet all my life. It took God to come into my life to change my spirit. Amen. See? But the cross and what God did in the cross is what changed our life. If it wasn't for that, we were all lost and at each other's throat. But I'm glad that he came and he died for me so I could have a chance to choose a good life. Brother Brown says, I am talking about love of God that is really down there. That's the Holy Spirit. That is, if you want that, something that's real season, and that's what I want to be, a real seasoned Christian. That I will make the word of God just live through you and act through you. See, no root of bitterness in the channel. Holy Spirit just flow right through you. That's what you want. That's what I want. That's what I want today. I don't want nothing to clog the pipe. If anything is doing, I want God to examine myself, show me what's wrong, because I don't want to be that way. I want to be an instrument that God can use for his service. And I want him to manifest himself through me. And I know he will be sweet if I let him be exposed out of me. You know, God is just waiting on us. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us that will give him the liberty to use us the way he wants to use us. The only thing that is stopping God from doing it is this, God. Because he wants to use me. And that's the reason we are here. God wants to use us. God wants to show the world out there, you know, what a real Christian, what a seasoned Christian is. You know? But we have to die to ourselves, to our ideas and our situation and the things that we go through. So, let's see. On the winds. Okay, I think that was my last quote. Let me see. And that's what we want. So the journey, you can stand, rise to your feet, stand, get up, move out. No. This journey is not an easy thing to do. In fact, you cannot do it on your own. In fact, I cannot leave this message. But I know who can for me. See, I told God, I cannot do this, but you can. Humanly speaking, I need him this morning. Why? Because I want to be all that he wants me to be. My desire is his desire. in my life. And if I ever look kind of bitter to you guys, let me know, please, because I don't want to have that in me. So the journey started first with the first order was to get rid of what? Bitterness. The next step was Mount Sinai. You know what happened in Mount Sinai? It was what we call Pentecost. That was the God came down. See? They came out of Egypt. You know, the blood redeemed them, come out of the world. They get baptized. The next step was what? The Holy Spirit, Mount Sinai. And that's what, where Moses met the bush that was burning. God want them to understand that he want them to be obedient and hear his voice. See? But the thing is that before we had to be obedient, we had to have deal with the things that we, you know, you like it or not, when we was in the world, we picked up a lot of stuff. See, because the world shaped you, the world molds you the way you know I used to be, but God has to completely clean and scrub all that out. Because in his kingdom, no one can be bitter. Only sweet. Only sweet people can be in his kingdom this morning. No bitterness. You know that song? Me neither. I don't know what song. You don't know a song about bitterness? I don't know anyone. What do you want to sing? What is Makea? Makea is my... Come on, Makea. I'm not a singer and I don't even remember half of the songs. You have a song in your mind? This is my... Okay, I like that one. This is my...